This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XE30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXE30.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Intel opens parallel computing program.
And NSF's newest big data darling.
Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for October 25th, 2013, available Fridays on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell with Intersect 360 Research, joined again by my co-analyst, Michael Feldman. Michael, how's it going?
Very well. How's it going there?
Doing fine, thanks. We're all getting ready for trick-or-treats coming up. Big Halloween party weekend, I think.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Intel is getting going with its parallel computing program, dressing up, I suppose, what can be done with Intel Xeon 5 processors.
Yeah, that was an interesting announcement this week. We saw them come out with this program where they're doing what looks suspiciously like NVIDIA's CUDA Centers of Excellence. They're going to partner with institutions, academic institutions, or centers, research centers, and start these sort of centers to put forth the parallel computing on their platforms, obviously. I mean, talked about Xeon 5, but also the Xeon platform, but I think mainly aimed at their many-core 5 chip at this point. And
right.
Just partner with different research, and they've got 5 ones on the docket already. They started with TAC, the University of Tennessee, the SUSE Institute in Berlin, Purdue, and then Shinneka in Italy.
Right. So you got 2 in Europe, Shinneka and SUSE, and then 3 in the U.S., Purdue, TAC, and University of Tennessee. I agree with you. It looks a lot like the CUDA Centers of Excellence as a program. I don't think there's anything suspicious about that. I think NVIDIA has been actually pretty successful with those, and you're trying to bring more of that mentality now to programming parallelism into Xeon and Xeon Phi. This follows on to other types of work we've seen people doing. Bull, back in April, I believe it was, opened their parallel programming center that was focused primarily on Intel Xeon Phi, and that's been very successful for them.
Right. I think this is a natural model for how things get done in software in HPC. I mean, there's these big research centers that have a lot of stake in these programming models and a lot of people and resources to tap into. So there's all this sort of natural collaboration. So it's not like they're necessarily copying what NVIDIA is doing. I think it's just something they fall into, and it's very advantageous for both parties.
Well, and in a blog posted on Intel's website by Raj Hazra, who's the general manager for high performance computing or technical computing at Intel, he makes the point that as we're on this path toward exascale computing, that we don't want application performance to get left behind. A peak exaflop is nice, but there's a question of how applications are going to perform on these new generations of systems. I think it's been clear that accelerators are going to be pretty well adopted at the high end, and we're going to need this kind of parallel programming initiative in order to get applications using these systems efficiently at scale.
Right, exactly. And I think this is sort of, to me, this sort of represents Intel's sort of second push into the Phi platform as far as the software goes. I mean, originally they were talking about, you know, it's very easy to port to a Phi. You basically recompile, and you've got a great starting point for your application. They weren't necessarily saying you just recompile Link and Go. I mean, there's performance attributes that you have to get in there by doing some code changes usually. But this is what this is addressing. They're talking about, you know, kernel restructuring, kernel refactoring to extract the performance out of a many-core architecture, which is, you know, much more complex than just doing a recompile. And this is what this is about. And they're making this push now, and they're getting people involved. And they're actually talking about getting much better performance out of some of the real-world applications now. Originally, I think, if you recall, when they talked about the Xeon 5 when they introduced, they're saying, yeah, you get a 2 or 3 times performance boost, you know, average across these things when you do this. Now they're pointing to specific applications and saying, yeah, we can get, you know, 10, 20, even 2,000 times performance increases if you do this kernel restructuring work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're going to be looking at parallelism. You're going to be looking at new approaches to parallelism that in terms of these new architectures in Xeon Phi. Tiffany Trader in HPC Wire wrote up an article on a research paper that came out from some scientists from Illinois Institute of Technology, Argonne National Labs, University of Chicago, where they're looking at a concept they're calling many-task computing as being a bridge between kind of capability or what they're calling high-performance computing and more of a capacity, high-throughput computing, specifically for these types of accelerated architectures, well, actually very specifically for Intel Xeon Phi.
Right, actually, right. I think the Xeon Phi was the sort of the impetus to do that work, but their framework they're trying to build is actually supposed to be transparent between GPUs, the Xeon 5s, and even future generations of accelerators. But yeah, you see this work there that was done independently from Intel, presumably, but again, a lot of people interested in this many-core and many-task type parallelism and being done so in different venues.
Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned GPUs again. NVIDIA, of course, amidst all of this Intel news, has been running its own counter campaign. They've even launched a website, nvidia.com/justthefacts, where they're trying to keep what their message around GPU computing and where it's stronger than Intel Xeon Phi. So while all of this parallelism and architectural work is going on, you've got to remember that there's still a battle between the two companies and which of them is going to emerge as the dominant paradigm.
Right. I mean, the NVIDIA claim at this point is that their GPUs are more performant than the Xeon 5s, at least on some of the real-world applications that they point to. And the claim is that you have to basically do similar programming work to extract the performance out of either of these platforms, and if you get more performance in the GPUs, then that becomes the logical one. I think the thing really to be determined is if there is actual similar-type efforts to do the software modifications you need for Xeon 5 versus a GPU. I think Intel would say there's much less, but that of course that remains to be seen. And then, you know, the performance I think is going to vary for different applications, depending upon, you know, the features and the behavior of these applications, whether it performs better on a GPU or a Xeon 5. So that I think is TBD as well. But yeah, interesting development. I think NVIDIA is trying to push, you know, sort of their view out there, and I think we're going to see in the next year which one of these plays out.
Well, yeah, and I think it might even take longer than a year, but in any case, the development of the ecosystem around the applications, the parallelism, is the important next step that we've been talking about for a long time, and it's nice to see these concrete steps forward, either on the Intel side or the CUDA centers of excellence. These are the steps that you need in order to build a mature, robust ecosystem for application scalability.
Yeah, and Intel seems to be ramping this up very quickly, so I think yeah, we're going to see some developments very quickly in how this plays out.
All right, let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and talk about our other major big trend. Big data keeps making news.
Need scalability across the performance spectrum? The Cray XC30 supercomputer family delivers on Cray's commitment to an adaptive supercomputing architecture that provides both extreme scalability and sustained performance, leveraging a robust processor roadmap, high-performance interconnect, and flexible network topology. Users can configure the exact machine to meet their specific requirements today and also remain confident that they can upgrade and enhance their system to address the most challenging multi-petaflop application demands of the future. To learn more about Intel Xeon processor-enabled Cray supercomputers, visit www.cray.com/ownxc30.
Okay, Michael, we spent the first half of the podcast talking about accelerators. Let's go back to big data. This has become not only an industry buzzword, but seems like this is the NSF darling project du jour.
Yeah, the NSF just announced a new, or actually Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center announced a new system that's funded by the NSF. They're going to build a big data supercomputer called Data XSL. And they're going to get $7.6 million for that. It's a four-year grant, but it's all going to be done at PSC. Again, this is the third big grant we've heard about from the NSF to do these big data machines. And the first one, of course, was Gordon back at San Diego Supercomputing Center. And just last week, we talked about the one at TAC, the Wrangler system, for $6 million. And now, again, there's another one just a week later at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is an important trend, of course. And here we've been talking for years about we need to measure systems by something other than just flops. I think big data has given us something to focus on in terms of the I/O performance of these machines. I have to wonder, are we overcooking it a little bit by having massive supercomputers where now the only thing we're talking about is IOPS? But overall, I'm pleased with the focus on data movement across the system, and big data, of course, is a very real trend. There are these applications from both traditional high-performance computing and then into high-performance business computing and even out into enterprise where applications are going to need to scale. My hope with this is that we can see the same sort of application maturity in programming in particular for these big data machines, whether at TAC or at PSC or wherever, as we're seeing around the accelerator side. A lot of big data deployments are starting from in-house applications and algorithms, and it's a question of how to get these environments to scale efficiently. Maybe that's one of the things that we can get out of these large-scale NSF systems.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Maybe we will see some sort of open collaborations and open source software platforms out of these things. I think it's a little more difficult in a sense when we're talking about big data. There seems to be more heterogeneity in sort of the application set.
Yeah.
But something worthwhile to think about. We haven't heard about any collaborations between any of these things. I think these centers are sort of competitive, and right now we've got three of them that are going to have big data machines. So we'll see how that develops. But yeah, I mean, it's good to see the NSF sort of put a lot of at least money and funding behind these things. I think it's now become a focus for them, and we'll probably see more of these supercomputing centers get these sort of grants and sort of get on this bandwagon.
Well, you make a good point about the heterogeneity of the application space, and a lot of the discussions that we hear, you can even start out with the debate, that's not big data, this is big data, and what we get is a blind man in the elephant situation where everyone's describing the part of the elephant that they're touching. And when they disagree on what the elephant looks like, they wind up coming to the conclusion that the elephant was imaginary. This is a very real elephant, and it's growing awfully fast. And there are just a lot of different aspects to it.
Yeah, exactly. I think I have a feeling the ones that PSC is going to build and the software that's going to go in there is going to be very different from the ones that went into Gordon, which is now an older system. It's only like, a year or two old, but it's a different architecture and probably different software type platforms that went into that. And of course Wrangler and the people at TAC, they're going to have their own take on this and their own application set that they're interested in, but I think it's a really exciting development in sort of the computer science side of supercomputing. I think we're going to see a lot of movement in this going forward, and this is a very cool funding opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely, and congratulations to Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center on Data XSL. I think this is a big deal and a positive development. We'll look forward to hearing more about it as it gets deployed.
Absolutely.
All right, Michael, that wraps us up for this week. We're getting into the home stretch for Denver, and I know there's going to be a lot more news next week, so I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray and Intel. The new Cray XC30 supercomputer, powered by Intel Xeon processors, delivers scalable performance for the most demanding computing challenges. For more information, visit www.cray.com/ownXC30.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.